to see you here on this Sunday after Easter that's often known as Low Sunday due to reduced attendance after more attendance on Easter Sunday. But I'm glad to have all of you here today as we gather for worship on this Sunday in April. And as you will note, if you are visiting today, I extend a special welcome to you. And if it is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you fill the card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. You will note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and you will note that there will be no Bible study on Tuesday and there's no discipleship class next Sunday. We did start having discipleship classes this morning for those interested in baptism and or church membership. And if there is anyone else that is interested, you need to let me know as soon as possible about that. And next Sunday I will be away, and the guest preacher will be the Reverend Dr. Rich Robison. Will be here as guest preacher next Sunday. And also the Judson Association is having its spring meeting next Sunday afternoon. Included in your bulletin this morning is a order form for Church World Service blankets. If you would like to give one in honor or in memory of a loved one for Mother's Day, you may do that. There is one correction on this. It says to give the order forms and checks to Irene Hoffman. You don't need to do that. You may just place them in the offering plate, and we'll take care of that. In addition, during coffee hour today, there is a desk set up with an order forms and pictures of flowers that the Refugee Immigration Ministry is having another fundraiser this spring. And it's not bulbs, it is flowers this time. And orders will be taken through May 7th with delivery the following Sunday. So that would be appropriate for flowers for Mother's Day or for Memorial Day. And some of them may look a little expensive, but it is a fundraiser for RIM, but also some of them do have several plants within it as well for planting. So I do encourage you to look that over and place your order if you'd like to do that. This time I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 211 for our responsive call to worship. Let us read responsively from a variety of verses in the New Testament as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. Jesus appeared in a body.
The Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us.
He was vindicated by the Spirit.
Jesus was put to death in the body, made alive by the Spirit.
He was seen by angels.
The angels said to the women, "He is not here, he has risen."
He was preached among the nations. He was believed on in the world.
You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
He was taken up in glory.
The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way.
Come, Lord.
Our opening hymn this morning is Worship Christ, the Risen King. You may think, oh, we're singing Christmas carols. It's the tune that we are familiar with Christmas carol too, but it is an Easter hymn. Number 259, we'll be singing verses 1, 4, and 5 only. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Christ has conquered death.
Let us pray. We are still basking in the glory and joy of Christ's Easter victory, O God. The stone was rolled away. The stones which have trapped us, our worries, our fears, anxieties, doubts, and troubles of various sorts, need not threaten us. We pray that your power that raised Christ from the dead will also raise us out of darkness and sorrow. Send your Spirit be with us this day. We ask this in the name of Jesus, the resurrected Christ. We now join in praying together the prayer he taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. We were planning to have Sunday school resume this morning for teachers and students. However, the teacher called me early this morning, is not feeling well and not able to be here this morning. So there will not be any class today for Sunday school students. Hopefully it will resume next week. So students will just need to stay in the sanctuary with their parents. At this time, we have an opportunity to share our celebrations and our concerns as we go to God in prayer. One is we want to keep Peggy in prayer. Peggy lost her sister. Her sister passed away about 10 days ago. So we want to keep Peggy in prayer today. And we want to keep Cindy Huddy's brother was diagnosed with cancer this week. So we want to keep Cindy and her family in prayer, especially her brother in prayer. And we want to continue to keep Paul Patrie and May Upperman in prayer, who both have health issues and are at home today. And do you have any requests for prayer, either celebrations or concerns that you'd like to share with the church family as we go to prayer? Peggy? Good. Nathan's going to be a year old tomorrow. He was born as a preemie, but first birthday, that's wonderful. Doing well, and I know you care for him several days a week, so he's got good care. And so that's wonderful. It's a wonderful celebration because I know it was you know, as a preemie, it was very touch and go for a little while. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Eternal, loving, merciful God, we come this day in the afterglow of Easter, with such good news that we received last Sunday, that the tomb is empty, that Jesus is alive. News that's difficult to believe at times. So good. And yet, Lord, we are just so thankful that the tomb is empty. And Lord, as we come 1 week later, we pray that we may gain a greater understanding of what it means to have the empty tomb and have Jesus walking and talking among us, and what it means to have the resurrected Christ in our lives. Lord, that news is so good that we cannot keep it to ourselves. We should not keep it to ourselves, that you have instructed your followers to go into the world and share that message. Lord, we pray that you will empower us through our words, through our actions, through our attitudes, that we will share the love of Christ and the news of the empty tomb with others. Lord, as we come to prayer this morning, we thank you for each person that's chosen to be here this day, to be a part of this congregation, to be a part of this worshiping community on this morning. And Lord, we just lift up those that are not here today. We pray especially for those that were here last Sunday and for whatever reason are not here this morning. Lord, we pray that your Spirit may be with them as we pray for your Spirit to be with us. Lord, we lift up those who are ill today. We've mentioned some by name, and we know others in our hearts. We lift them up to you and pray for healing in their lives according to your will for them. Lord, we thank you for the medical teams that care for us and our loved ones that provide tender, loving care as well when we need that, when our bodies are injured or ill or broken, that we are ways to be mended. Lord, we also lift up those who are in mourning today. Even though the message of the empty tomb provides hope, there still is a hole in people's hearts, and there's still a time of grieving, a sadness of missing a loved one. And we pray for those that are feeling that today and pray that your Spirit may help to mend that hole, to fill it with your love and your peace and your comfort. Lord, we do pray for our nation as a leader in this world. We pray for other nations as they are taking elections, as they are making decisions about leadership and how they will relate with other nations of our world. Lord, we live in dangerous times. And we see that every day. We hear in the news and we wonder if, you know, what one nation will be doing versus another nation. And say, well, we don't need to worry about them as much now, but we need to worry about this country over here. Lord, we just pray for your peace, the peace that Christ came to bring. It's not peace that we can make on our own. It's only peace that Christ can bring. And we just pray that that peace may permeate from us, that we may be the beginners of that peace and sharing that, even on the small scales, that may just ripple and bubble out in ripples that and influences, that we may share that love with others, that they too may share it with others, that the peace that we experience through Christ may be in not only this church, but in our communities, in our nation, and around the world. Lord, we thank you again for the message of the empty tomb, the hope that it offers each of us, the eternal life that you offer us through Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray all of these things. Amen. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive, walking and talking among us on this Sunday after Easter. And we have a responsibility to share that wonderful news that Jesus is with us, with others. We're able to do that through this congregation. And our morning tithes and gifts will enable us to share the ministry and the mission of this congregation with others. And at this time, the ushers will receive the morning offering.
Message.
Let's pray together. Lord, these checks and bills that we've offered to you are a token of our gratitude for your love. Lord, we pray that you would bless these gifts and bless us as we use them to share the good news of the risen Christ with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Sugantha Jivakumar, close, will be the lay leader today and will be reading the scripture.
Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. Then Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. After saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands and put my finger on those scars and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were together again indoors, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Then reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop your doubting and believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Do you believe because you see me? How happy are those who believe without seeing me?" In his disciples' presence, Jesus performed many other miracles which are not written down in this book. But these have been written in order that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through your faith in him, you may have life. May God bless this holy reading.
Thank you, Sugantha. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard this morning from John's Gospel, one of the accounts of Jesus' appearance to his followers, really, Lord, two appearances, a week apart. Lord, we're at that time frame of the second meeting when Thomas was with them. And Lord, some of us may be like Thomas. We may need to be able to feel and see for ourselves and not just take somebody else's word for it. That's why it's so important, Lord, that we share our faith, not as somebody else, what somebody else told us, but how we've encountered the Christ. Lord, we pray that this morning, being together this morning and receiving a word from you, may strengthen us and encourage us in our discipleship, that we may be empowered as we leave here to share the good news of Christ with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. Have you ever played the card game, I Doubt It? After doing a little research, there are several similar games with different names and numerous variations. The goal of the game is to be the first player to get rid of all of his or her cards by discarding them face down in a discard pile based on particular rules of the game, whichever rules you're playing by. Players must announce the rank, 2, 7, queen, etc., of the card that they are discarding. This may be true, or it could be a bluff if the person didn't have the necessary card to discard. If another person or another player believes that the first is bluffing, they can proclaim, "I doubt it." If they're wrong, they have to pick up the whole stack of cards. If the first player was bluffing, he or she must pick up the stack. Early in the game, when the stack is small and the stakes are low, it's relatively easy to risk bluffing or to proclaim, "I doubt it." However, when the stakes are higher, players become more cautious about professing doubt or accusing one another. When it comes to faith issues, the stakes seem high, and it is often difficult to say, "I doubt it." After all, good Christians trust God for everything in all circumstances, don't they? Don't we? But if we're honest, there are times when we all have our doubts? When is it difficult for us to believe? When do we have trouble trusting in God? Does our reasonable, educated 21st century mind find it hard to believe in a resurrected Lord? Some do. Some have those doubts. Is it difficult to trust when a loved one has died? Is there doubt when we've been diagnosed with a serious illness or lost a job? Or perhaps it is when a parent has left and we're feeling abandoned. Do we ever find ourselves wondering, where is God? We should not be too critical of ourselves. A few years ago, the Associated Press had a story that reported that even Mother Teresa had doubts. In an undated letter, she wrote these words, "I have no faith. I dare not utter the words and thoughts that crowd in my heart and make me suffer untold agony." Mother Teresa acknowledged the contradiction with her public persona, describing her ever-present smile or a mask or a cloak, as she described it, that covered everything. Some writings seem to suggest that Mother Teresa doubted God's existence. Considering the conditions that she worked, lived, and ministered in, her occasional times of questioning and doubting should not be surprising. And even the heroes of faith in the Bible were doubters sometimes too. For example, in the Old Testament, Abraham and Sarah, despite the promise from God, had a hard time trusting God and waiting for a son. In their impatience, they took matters into their own hands with devastating results. The Israelites, after they had seen God work in miraculous ways in the Exodus as they were leaving Egypt, complained about the manna in the wilderness and built an idol to worship when they found it difficult to trust and believe in God. The disciples spent 3 years with Jesus. They had seen him miraculously heal and feed the multitudes, and they had heard him prophesy about his own death and resurrection. Yet they fled from the crucifixion and hid in fear. Later, the disciples doubted the words of the women who first proclaimed the news of the resurrection. In Mark chapter 16, we read, quote, "But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by Mary Magdalene, the disciples would not believe it," end quote. After this, Jesus appeared in another form to two of the disciples as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them either, according to Luke's gospel. And a little before that in Luke, we read, "Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told of the resurrection to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them." With so many examples of doubters in the Bible, and with so many of us facing our own questions and doubts at one time or another, why do we always seem to make the disciple Thomas the bad guy? Why have we dubbed him Doubting Thomas when we could have had doubting other names in there too? He was not behaving any differently from the way the other disciples did when they first heard the news. Can we blame Thomas for wanting to see with his own eyes, for wanting to hear with his own ears, and for wanting to touch Jesus with his own hands? Wouldn't any reasonable person do the same? After all, people don't come back from the dead. It's impossible. No, Lazarus was brought back from the dead, but Jesus performed that miracle. And Jesus is dead now. So the disciples thought. If we read today's text from the Gospel of John carefully, we notice that Thomas is never identified as the bad guy in the story. Jesus never rebukes him or shames him in any way for his questions and his unbelief. Instead of scolding Thomas, Jesus meets him where he is and offers him what he needs to move forward in his faith journey. This is indeed a turning point for Thomas. Immediately, he responds to Jesus with words of worship, "My Lord and my God." We often use those two words together, Lord and God, interchangeably. But for Thomas, they meant two very different things. For him, Lord meant the human Lord of their local faith community. And he was calling Jesus that, as the Lord of that community. And he was also, when he called him God, he meant that Jesus was fully divine. He was proclaiming that Jesus was the Son of God. In this statement, Thomas was affirming that Jesus was both fully human and fully divine. Something that we can't always wrap our head around. But Thomas, in that instance, recognized it. He was affirming the words that open the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, meaning Jesus, was in the beginning with God. I imagine it's safe to say that Thomas's doubts were gone forever after he encountered the risen Christ in that upper room. But even in that moment, Jesus realized that it would not be quite so easy for them, for those who came later. For Jesus said to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." It is harder, more difficult for those of us who don't get to see with our own eyes or hear with our own ears and touch with our own hands. It becomes an act of faith. So what are we to do? What do we have to help us when our doubts overwhelm us? First and foremost, we have the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to sustain us. When the resurrected Jesus first appeared to the disciples in John, when Thomas was not with them, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Before his death, Jesus had promised that the Holy Spirit would come. He said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. And you know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you." A second thing that can help us when we doubt is remembering the past. Remembering times when God has delivered us in the past can help us to persevere in the midst of present difficulties. The people of Israel knew this, and many of the Psalms were their stories of deliverance that were sung and told in services of remembrance and thanksgiving. Many of our hymns serve that purpose for us. We sing, "O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come." We need to think about a time or times in our lives when God has been with us, delivering us through or from a difficult situation, and then let the encouragement of that memory serve as a source of strength and comfort for us in our times of doubt and discouragement. And finally, we need to remember the promise of the future. Amidst severe persecution, John wrote a letter to the early church. We know it as the Book of Revelation. When he wrote this book, John was not in a place of leadership in the church or government. He was an exile on the island of Patmos. He was writing from the margins of society. He identified himself as your brother who shares with you in Jesus the persecution of the kingdom and the patient endurance. In the introduction to that book, he writes, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." This greeting is from the God of the past, the present, and the future. Sometimes remembering that what we are currently experiencing is not the end of the story can help carry us through a difficult time. May it be so for us as we work on setting aside our doubts and learn to trust and believe this Easter season. Let's pray together. Lord, we must confess that at times we do have doubts and questions and even disbelief. Sometimes we ask, where are you? When we feel that we don't feel your presence especially close. But Lord, through this encounter with Christ and Thomas and the disciples, we thank you that we have this promise that Jesus will be with us. We have the promise and the gift of the Holy Spirit to encourage us, to point the way, to pull us at times and to push us at others, but to be with us and accompany us. And we thank you for that Spirit. And Lord, we pray that having been together this morning, that we may be strengthened now, that your Spirit may go with us as we carry the good news of the empty tomb. We carry the good news of the living Christ to those who need it. The light of Easter day is not dimmed, but we need to share that light to those who are living in darkness, that they too may receive the light of the message of Easter. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he is alive and walking and talking among us. We ask this all in his name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is printed on the insert. Again, a familiar tune with new words, "When Thomas Heard from Jesus."
Thank you.
He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. Our risen Lord has shown us the mark of the nails and said, "Peace be with you." He has breathed on us and filled us with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let us go into the world to share Christ's peace, forgiveness, and reconciling love. Amen.